Right, this is the Cool Shit Podcast. Each week, we round up the latest cool shit, helping us think different and keep inspired. What makes it in, what gets left out, and what gets challenged. Is it cool? Is it shit? Or does it cross the magic threshold and come bona fide, certified cool shit? Welcome to the editor's meeting. Right. The Cool Shit Podcast, episode 14, I am told. But that is also correct. Everyone's looking at their mics. Everyone's looking a little bit apprehensive.
It's touching it. Is that all right?
I'm actually talking here, trying to do my bit.
What do you mean?
Like, that's touching.
Yeah, I'm sure it's
testing.
Fine.
Oh, we've started.
Oh, my word. Okay, so Gina's back.
I am.
Gina from High Stakes Films. How are you doing, Gina?
I'm fine, thanks. I got dragged out of my home for this. So,
can we just...
Gareth and James came and dragged me out of my home for this podcast. So here I am.
Can we just confirm that that's not true?
No, it didn't happen. It didn't happen.
No, so you've been dragged out of your home. You came into the office for this, so we appreciate that. Why were you at home anyway? We're all in the office today. What's going on?
I had an appointment, Gareth. It's personal.
Don't ask anymore.
On the podcast.
Moving on. And we also have Ben J. How are you going?
I'm all right. I'm here willingly. So
we couldn't drag in.
And as usual, the editor-in-chief of the Cool Shit newsletter / experience / what else did you want to call it?
I think we said extravaganza at some point.
Yeah, the chief editor, aka the little chef. How you going, mate?
I'm quite well, thank you, Gareth. How are you?
I'm all right, thank you. Did you enjoy the 4-day weekend?
I did, it was lovely. Oh yeah, happy Jubilee, everyone. Happy Jubilee.
Happy Jubilee, happy Jubilee, happy Jubilee.
Yeah, that's right.
What did you do with your time? Where'd you go?
I went home. Yeah. I went home to celebrate the Jubilee in Kent. Okay. I'll be honest, the Jubilee didn't factor into my plans that much, other than to avoid it at all costs. It's appropriate, actually. I think we'll just get straight into it, because you're going on about the 4-day weekend. Mm-hmm. We're going to start with something that's kind of themed with that. But also, we've had a lot of fun trials lately. So here's another one. This week, the largest ever trial of the 4-day work week has begun in the UK, with 70 companies and over 3,000 employees taking part.
So I think I'm going to talk for all of us when I say this, like, and anyone that's listening that is taking part in this trial, do not fuck it up for us. Seriously, you got the nation's hopes here. Okay, first of all, who are the 70 companies? How do they take part? What is the body that is doing this? Is this a government thing? How's this working?
I don't think it's a government thing. I know there's a government thing happening in like Spain, and also it says Scotland, which is our government. So, but actually, I've got it here. Organised by 4-Day Week Global. So it's obvious what they want. In partnership with Autonomy, which is a think tank, and some researchers at Cambridge, Oxford and Boston universities. Because and the Union of Workshy Little Feckers.
Because it has been sort of peer-reviewed with some research, and they're trying to sort of like test that out, right? So it's got a bit of clout to it, right?
Apparently so, yeah, because I think that there's been, particularly since COVID, there's been a shift to kind of making employees happier, especially with the kind of great resignation that's been going on as well. So I think it's a focus on that. And basically, it's almost like they're saying that if you work a 5-day week, people end up slacking off anyway, so you may as well just make it 4 days.
Or is it that we would be more productive in 4 days than we would be mm-hmm. in 5 days? Is that not kind of the argument?
I guess if you're happier, you're more productive, maybe.
Gina, you talk a lot.
I do. I spend one working day a week talking, so a 4-day week would be perfect for me.
But you coming in and not talking, that would make me a little bit sad as
well. I mean, we could make sure the 4 days were in the office. It's all right, Gareth. If we ever do this. No, I think it's a really good idea, because I feel like in a 5-day week, like Fridays, who really does as much as they normally do in the week on a Friday?
I love this, that all our employers are listening to this. Gina does no work on a Friday, Chris.
Me and Gareth both just cringe at each other. Did she say that?
No, but I mean, it's always like one day in the week where you're not going to be consistently productive for 5 days straight. So I feel like a 4-day week makes sense.
Do you feel that you would work harder in 4 days?
Yeah, because you still have the same amount of work, don't you? You just want to get it done, and then you're also buzzing to have a 3-day weekend.
Right, okay.
So
I think there was in Partygate recently, it came to light that even in number 10, to your point, they have wine Fridays from 4 o'clock.
And they seem to have it all figured out, so...
Yeah, like, look how... It's working well for them.
Exactly.
Ben, what do you make of this story?
Look, I'm a dirty part-timer, right? So I only work 3 days a week anyway. But since doing that, my productivity, I feel better. I have a better work-life balance. I don't go to bed on a Sunday night dreading the next week. Honestly, it's the best decision I've ever made. I think the entire world should revolve around a four-day week, personally. I think we'll all be better for it.
In Britain, where, like, stats always say that we're one of the sort of, like, we work longer hours than a lot of places in Europe. I think the French have kind of more or less done this the whole time. They kind of, like, Wednesday, I don't know if you've ever been anywhere in France on a Wednesdays, but it's, like, it's all fermé. Like, there is, like, shops shut at, like, 12 o'clock on a Wednesday, and that's it. Like, Wednesday's done. So it is, feels like a more European approach, right?
Right. So the thing that I think is really interesting about the way that we view work is that kind of Americanization of, you know, how some people love to tell you that they worked all night, or they worked through their lunch break, or they got in really, really early, and it becomes part of their identity.
James, you do that.
Yeah, you do.
He's like, oh, I came in early.
How do I do that? Like, I was here from 8.
Yeah,
I get early. I'm an early riser.
Yeah, but no one asked you to come in. Anyway, carry on, Ben.
That feels like a really, like, no offence, James.
I don't do it!
He's having his porridge sat here at 7 a.m.
You know, I've really got to jump on the day here.
For me, the question is, do we live to work or do we work to live, right? And so if a four-day week gets us to a place where we all have a bit of a... We have something going on outside of our jobs, isn't that a good thing?
Yeah.
Isn't that something we should all be working towards?
So I think it's something to aspire to. Like, certainly, I think it's a really good thing. I think, potentially, if this was to be sort of like rolled out by companies, it would create sort of like a more healthy culture, right?
Part of our culture as well asks us to be defined by our jobs. You've been on a date and it's the second question you ask, right? It's like, oh, what do you do?
Yeah.
As though somehow that's how I should be seen or defined.
But it'd be good if we just answered with our hobbies. Like, oh, I'm a bird watcher.
I don't think you get a second date.
Right, like, actually being more than who we are on a 9-to-5 Monday to Friday feels like a really good place for us to be. The world will be a better place.
I'm with it. It does make me laugh. I'm fully up for it. I question whether it would make people more productive or if they'd do the same but in 4 days. It made me laugh that it's this 180-100 model, which means 100% pay, 80% hours, but they're committed to doing it, to being 100% as productive, which, like, that's like, yeah, of course we'll do that. Yeah, no problem. I'm not sure I entirely buy it.
I think some of it's industry, it depends on the industry you work in. Like, certainly this industry, sometimes I feel like do you know what? If you were going to make me try and do everything in the 4 days, I wouldn't be able to do it.
Yeah.
And it's actually, I want the extra day to be able to get everything done. Now, that's not meaning living to work or anything like that, but to get my sanity right on, like, okay, I've got something approaching. It's a big shoot, or it's a big pitch or whatever. You want to be in a good place for that. Do you know what I mean?
But you're a creative guy, right? Your job is to come up with ideas. Do you come up with ideas better on a Monday or on a Friday? On a Monday after you've been out for a weekend, you've seen a bit more of the world, you've engaged with something more compelling than us.
Yeah.
Or on a Friday where you've, you know, had meeting after meeting, you're knackered, like, you've got a load of shit going on. Don't you think creative industries in particular would benefit from that extra day? And we probably would be more productive because we've had more stuff to fuel that creative fire.
So you're saying you're most productive on a Monday?
I mean, it depends how hungover I am.
I was going to say, I don't have any ideas on a Monday other than, like, I should probably have a shower
now. You've got one productive day in you a week, haven't you? It's Wednesday. You finally come round on a Wednesday and then you fuck it up again from
Thursday. But the weekend starts on the Thursday.
So that's a good question. Where do you put that extra day? Do you go two off, two on? Skip Wednesday, two on.
Yeah, so I was thinking that. Is it like the Wednesday in the middle sort of thing? Like, but that could be a good thing. Now, hear me out. A proportion of young people, I'm looking at you two, are going to go harder on a Thursday night, have that Friday just feeling horrendous,
yeah.
And then
we do that already, so like it makes no difference at this point. The margs are flown on a Wednesday and a Thursday most time.
Break up your week, trust me.
Yeah,
like, I think that's very better. I mean, yeah. I think I want the Friday more, but I feel like it would be a bad idea. I feel like the Wednesday would probably be more beneficial.
You'll get more done. You'll feel better. It breaks up your like work.
Yeah, so you
end up being creative, right? That would actually work, because what I don't like is when you're like, right, so you need to come up with these ideas by this deadline. Have them written up. Let's go, right? Because I'm like, well, you could have briefed me like a week ago. I don't sit there at a desk thinking of ideas. It's like when you're out and about, the answers start to come to you. So if someone briefed you, you know, on a Monday, said, oh, look, we need this by Thursday, I'd feel so much in a better spot if I had a day not to think about it, because generally that's when the ideas come, when you're not thinking about it. So yeah, I do buy that Wednesday argument. James, are you going to speak to Matt and Joe about this?
I think you should.
I have said to show solidarity with the trial, I'm going to be moving to a four-day week regardless.
Yeah.
I'm looking for an out point. You got any jokes to tell about this one, James?
I actually do, because this made me laugh. There's one that's participating, a fish and chip shop, and the team leader said when he first heard about it, he thought, what's the catch? And you think, cod, presumably.
He didn't do that on purpose, though, did he?
I don't think he did, but
that
he must have done.
I read that
he must
that's
done.
Quite funny.
He must have done. Appropriately, actually, this transitions quite nicely. I don't really know how to start with this one or explain it all. Basically, there's a chippy in Coventry called Binley Mega Chippy. If you've heard the song, that might be ringing in your ears right now. And by all accounts, it's a decent chippy, but over the last week, it's had literally thousands of people visiting from all over the world after it went viral on TikTok.
It's probably the most like action Coventry's got ever. It's like the armpit of England,
most
isn't it?
Action anyone's got in Coventry as well.
Or that, exactly.
So like literally, like, if you read the article or if you've seen like any of the videos, they've had people from Australia, they've had people from America. Like, no jokes, there was a guy who was going to Paris and actually flew to Coventry, changed his flight so he could fly to Coventry, go to Binley and Mega Chippy, and then go on to Paris.
What? But what?
It's
why?
Just, it's gone viral, basically, on TikTok.
Right.
And no
Gina,
one really
can you
knows.
Explain? So, like, for the people listening, explain exactly what's
I don't
happened.
Really understand it, though. Like, it went. I don't know why it went viral, but
that's,
it has
I think
viral.
That's the point. That's nobody entirely understands, and it's almost like everyone's joining in on a joke, but taking it to levels where they're flying from the other side of the world to be ironic, basically.
It's the Morbius thing.
Yeah.
Yes, it was the Morbius thing as well. They had like a Morbius meal. Yeah. Well,
apparently that wasn't real.
There's a Morbius meal. I meant like, as in load of people diving onto a thing ironically and it becoming a meme. But there was actually a Morbius tie-up.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
yeah.
even better.
Well, what happened, the owner did a song, right? He did a little jingle. It got.
I don't think it was him.
No, it was a random person.
It was a super
person. And then people used the audio.
It was a super
so
fan.
The audio just started to get picked up on TikTok. And like, it was the audio first that went super viral, which led people to discover like Binley Mega Chippy. Really strange. It's bizarre.
It is strange.
It's very British. This would not happen in another
That's
country.
That's the first thing I thought. It's so British. And I'm just like, it's another stupid thing that British people have done.
I mean, it tells you the power of audio advertising, right? Exactly. Radio jingles. Yeah. Genuinely do work.
It also highlights the power of what music or jingles or sounds or whatever do on TikTok. Like,
and just the power of TikTok's algorithm to mobilize this amount of people to be ironic. And this shows the kind of this generation's sense of humour have been brought up on memes. That's kind of now filtering into their sense of humour in the real world.
Real life,
well. Exactly,
like real life experience. You're totally right. It is meme humour that sort of like led them there, 100%. The owner did say in quite a little sweet interview with the BBC that it's a gift from God. This is a gift from God.
That's
what really worries me, though, because irony is no basis for brand development. Like, in a week when everyone's forgotten about this and this poor guy is like flogging his TikTok viral hood as hard as he can.
Apparently it's a popular chippy anyway, so even if they get like, what, 2 to 3 weeks of it being absolutely bananas, then
it's nice for him, though.
Why not? Yeah,
get some money in.
And the gift from
that's
God.
That's it, though. Be realistic about it. Yeah. Like, don't set needless expectations around how viral.
Yeah, like start talking about divinity and stuff. Yeah, which is as logical an explanation as anything else. To be fair.
Algorithms, God, sort of same thing.
The God in the machine.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like no one understands it. Hello, Gina. Have you got something to bring to the editorial meeting?
I think I might do
the Cool Shit Extravaganza.
Lucky for you, yes.
Good.
So there's a Welsh councillor who's like a local councillor in like a small Welsh town or village or whatever it is. Town, sorry. He's had to resign because people keep basically making allegations that he's Banksy. So,
it's an interesting term of phrase, mm-hmm. allegations.
Yes. Yeah.
Did you wonder about this evening?
I did some digging, but the allegations come from literally nowhere. Like, there's no link with him and the artwork or the artist. But he's like, I have to resign because, you know, he thinks that it undermines his ability to be a local councillor. So he's now...
There's some missing information there. Someone's got some dirt on this guy.
Apparently there's like several allegations.
That he's Banksy?
Yeah, and a number of people...
Again, why allegations?
I'll tell you what he should have done. He's gone, oh, no, I'm not.
All that. But apparently, yeah, he said he doesn't want this allegation to undermine the reputation of the council.
Why allegations? Someone answer.
I know.
Why allegations?
I know.
It's not illegal to be Banksy.
To be fair,
I've got
there's a headline here on a Sky News that does actually say after repeated allegations that he is Banksy.
Yeah.
So.
But it seems like everyone's like an angry mob, like, you are Banksy, yeah. You are Banksy.
Fuck you, you're a genius.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You revolutionised street art.
Or he just doesn't get the artwork. And he's probably thinking, I don't want to be involved in any of this. Like, it's so, probably that.
So who is this? Like, what?
He's just a local councillor.
How old is he? Like,
He looks
about 50 maybe.
when you're in your mid-20s, you have no idea right?
50? His name's William
Gannon.
He
looks 75.
He's probably 54, I'm going
to
say.
Yeah, well, his name's William Gannon, if anyone wants to support the local councillor.
Against those harsh allegations.
It doesn't say what party he's with.
Okay.
Probably Tory.
If he's Tory, I can see why maybe having...
He doesn't like that.
Having a reputation as a fairly left-wing, anti-establishment graffiti...
Would be an allegation.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, it makes sense. But it's just quite funny and quite random that he's like, listen, guys, it's okay, I'm going to resign because it won't let me do my job properly.
Ben J., you're pretty cool, aren't you? You're like all cool, you know lots of things, you do lots of cool shit.
Loads of stuff.
I was just wondering, do you actually know who the real Banksy is?
I
bet you do.
Do you?
I don't know who it is, but I do buy that it's the guy from Massive Attack theory.
I've heard that theory, yeah.
From who?
Massive
Attack. Oh my god,
Neil Buchanan! Neil Buchanan did
it! It could be him!
You heard it here first. Neil Buchanan is Banksy.
Do you know what? That has actually happened. There has been allegations of Neil Buchanan being Banksy.
No, are you joking?
No, I'm not.
Well, there you go. I was onto something without realising.
Yeah. He has been.
I'm looking at it right now.
Yes.
Oh my god.
True thing.
If it turns out that Neil Buchanan is Banksy, we live in a simulation.
I don't know what to say. Oh, so I've just been reading about it, and William Gannon, or Billy Gannon, to his mates, as it says here.
You know him well.
he is actually an artist.
Oh, wasn't in the article. I missed that vital information.
What sort of artist?
By the looks of it, a shit one.
it's not collage art, is it, though?
I don't really know how to describe it. It looks like crayons, actually. Also, this doesn't fit with the kind of the theory that if he's a Tory, he wouldn't like him, because he says that Banksy is a hero of his, but it's not him. So this makes less sense.
Why resign?
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. I think he's done some bad shit. Yeah, got away with it.
Someone does.
Can we say that? Sorry.
Or guys.
He could be Banksy.
He's making it so obvious. He's basically modern day Batman.
All right, case closed.
Case closed, done.
I'm convinced.
Ben, hello. Have you got something to bring to the table this week?
I do. The thing I had originally intended to bring was incredibly boring.
Oh, okay, good. So good. So I'm glad you're not going to do that.
You can have the boring thing. But then I just remembered in conversation that Morbius happened this week.
Right, okay.
So I don't know if you heard about this.
I don't really
explain,
know.
Explain.
Okay, so Morbius is Sony's latest effort in the Marvel universe.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
So straight away, it's not Disney, it's Sony. So it's a Marvel title that Sony have the rights for, right?
Exactly.
It's a bad film.
Yeah. So it's an awful film.
Have you seen it?
Yeah.
Have you?
Yeah. Oh, so enough. Before you try and show me attitudes, anyway, carry on.
However, it obviously captured the attention of a number of young people on the internet, and it became a meme, like a meme overnight. Like, everyone's talking about, it's Morbin time.
It's Morbin time.
Quoting the film, showing hilarious scenes One of the worst things I've committed.
Is this a film? Did have Jared Leto in it?
Yeah. It did have Jared Leto.
He's also a wronger.
Like terrible performance. Yeah. Yeah.
And like, yeah. He was being really method about it. He's like disabled in the film and he's being really method about it. He was forcing cast members to help him go to the bar.
Surely you get arrested for that.
He is grim.
Yeah, horrifying.
Yeah.
However, Sony, seeing all of this activity online, decided that they were going to so it had been a limited release in the cinema. They decided that they were going to re-release it to another, I think, 1,000 cinemas across the US, hoping to capitalize on the energy around the movie. It made an average of $78 per cinema over that weekend.
Oh no!
So that flopped massively.
I love boardroom decisions when like the marketing goes sort of like to the boardroom, and right? Like, yeah, like,
and that's what I think is really interesting. Someone's looked at mentions on the internet and gone, "Oh, how many mentions? There's more, loads. It's everywhere. It's going viral." We won't dig into that in any serious way. We'll just re-release it.
But it's interesting though, because the example we had earlier of people flying from all over the world to be ironic, they weren't willing to be ironic to go see a shit film. So maybe they were banking on that.
It's fair. There are a lot of shit films that do get that sort of heat.
I love shit films.
But this didn't translate to that. No.
No. So like, I mean, The Room is another good example of
that.
Yeah, I love watching The Room with my mates. Hilarious. Would I see Morbius? No. But what's the line? How do you begin to like figure out what film is going to really capture the imagination and people are going to commit to and spend money on in a cinema and what people aren't?
Well, you've pointed it out. They believe that social listening was the key, right? That you know, hashtags, mentions, whatever was going to be, you know, a gold mine for them, but it wasn't.
Not remotely.
So interesting. So how many titles that I get confused with, you know, because Sony owns Spider-Man,
yeah,
but they lent Spider-Man to the Marvel Universe. Mm. I'm sure Sony still made the money out of it, or there was some sort of joint agreement, right?
Did they sell it back?
They borrowed it. They borrowed it, and then now it's gone back to Sony. So we don't know if we're going to see another Spider-Man for a while in the incarnation that he's in at the moment, right? Do Marvel Studios not have the rest of the Marvel titles like sewn up, or are these deals that were done a long time ago?
Years and years and years ago, right?
Right.
So again, I don't know the ins and outs, but Spider-Man, Venom, obviously Morbius. There's a couple of others that are owned.
Hulk, I think.
Yeah. Before Disney, Marvel sold those off piecemeal, like years and years ago, either for games or for movies or for other media. And then obviously when the whole Marvel Disney thing exploded, Sony's just gone, well, we're definitely hanging on to these, and like digging through their back shelves to find, you know, that really, really B-list title that they thought they could make a movie around. Dusting it off, putting it out there, see what happens.
Just a quick once around the room, James. Are you a Marvel fan? Do you or a DC Universe fan? Are you a fan of like the age of the superhero movie that we're living in?
I avoided it for the better part of a decade for reasons unknown to me, but I've recently kind of worked my way through pretty much the full catalogue, and yeah, it's pretty good. You can see why they do so well, I think.
Gina, I know you're a big fan of Marvel films, aren't you?
Yeah. I do enjoy them.
And you are as well?
I'm in two minds. Mm. I enjoy them as movies. I don't like what they've done to cinema.
I agree with that. Although Top Gun might be changing that now a little bit.
Right, but that's but they're still franchise, right?
Yeah, yeah. Like, and it's still massive blockbuster. Like, yeah. The amount they're paying for the jets, yeah.
Yeah. Tom Cruise's massive ego is also a big factor.
But what I do find at least interesting about Maverick, which I haven't seen yet, is that they had... an embargo on CGI unless it was absolutely necessary, and the stunts on with the planes was all done for reals. Which, that's my problem with Marvel films, is just the over CGI of it.
Mm.
Makes me hard to sometimes connect with it, but I'm like James. Recently I've just gone, actually, I need to watch the whole thing, so I've gone back to the beginning, and I get it. It's really enjoyable. I love it. But it's kind of like a bit like a McDonald's. I don't feel completely satisfied.
But right. you're more into like sort of avant-garde French cinema, aren't you?
Of course, yeah. Yeah. I'm into war movies. I'm into war movies. I can see why it's got such fandom, and I can see why, you know, they're really popular movies. But it is like, it feels almost like content.
Yeah, a couple of them are terrible. A couple of the Avengers are terrible because they've obviously just gone, let's just stick them all in a room together and people will eat this shit up. Like, Age of Ultron was awful. Like, I enjoyed some of the kind of ones that went under the radar. Like, I thought Ant-Man was charming.
Well, that's the phase that I'm at. I'm just about to watch. Mm-hmm. So I'm finishing Age of Ultron. I've got to say, it's one of the worst.
It's awful.
It is the worst.
And then I think Ant-Man's next in the Disney timeline that they've given me to watch it in order. So
I think there's a couple of movies that get the tone really right and are aware that they're having to punch upwards. So Ant-Man's a great example. I think any of the Taika Waititi
Thor and Hulk one I'm really looking forward to that. That's supposed to be one of the best ones, isn't it? And that's just an out and out comedy, isn't it? Or more or less.
Yeah.
Are you talking about Ragnarok?
That's it, Ragnarok.
So
good.
That's really good. Yeah.
Really understood that they weren't there to be super serial, you know, like Iron Man movies. There was a space to be quite playful. And it's in the creative space where they're able to do something that was a bit different. That's where these movies shine. Because creativity is better than just, you know, generic...
samey.
Cookie cutter.
It's Morbin time,
All right, James, we've had a few stories there. What are you thinking? What's making the cut this week?
Well, yet again, Ben Jackson has bought something that he doesn't like. William Gannon's definitely the most interesting to me, though. The thing is, I don't know if it's... If in order to make it cool, I think I'm going to have to assert that this man is Banksy.
Yeah.
Well, he's on the list.
William Gannon, you're on the list.
It's a very long list.
Yeah. We're not sure which list. That might have been why he resigned as well, but...
I 100% think that needs to make it. I sidled over to Gina when I heard she had another story about a big Jaffa cake, and I was like, what?
No one wants to hear about the big Jaffa cake, so...
I was like, no, you have to do this Banksy story.
Hang on, that sounds scintillating.
So, and then the two stories up front, what did you think of those? I mean, you brought them to the table, but are you going to...
Yeah, I thought they were great. What were they again? the four-day work week. Yeah, I think that needs to go in partly because we unanimously want it. So I'd quite like to put it in front of Matt and Joe.
I feel that the Binley mega chippy is something that's... I think that should go in as well.
It's just a bizarre cultural phenomenon that I feel like needs to be spoken about.
And for some reason, it makes me feel quite warm, that story, and I don't even understand why. For that reason, I think that should go in. All right, cool. Well, listen, Gina, it's always a pleasure. You're always welcome back. Thank you very much. As are you, Ben.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
It's good to have you both here. James, we're not doing a four-day week this week, are we?
I am, as I said.
You're literally going on strike.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, well, I will see you next week if you're still employed under your new enforced contract.